I'm Ed Gordon. This is News and Notes. Federal authorities are cracking down on a Latino street gang involved in murder, drug smuggling, and human trafficking. More than 100 members of the gang known as Mara Salvatrucha, or MS-13, have been arrested in six cities. The MS gang is believed to have more than 50,000 members in the United States and Central America. NPR's Mandalit Del Barco reports.
Central Americans say they've been terrorized by the gangs. It's a sentiment shared even by those behind bars. At the overcrowded federal prison in San Pedro Sula, Honduras, inmate Owen Aguilar says he's here because he shot a gang member who tried to rob him.
The gangs over here, they're crazy. They take it out on your family. Like 3 or 4 months ago, you know, some gang members, they tried to kill my wife, you know, my wife and my little baby.
Aguilar says he's out of the gang life now, but he talks about how so many others are being rounded up by police.
Because over here, if you have a tattoo, you are breaking the law. If you have, especially if you have a tattoo that makes you belong to a gang.
Cracking down on gang members is a top priority throughout Central America, where leaders have copied zero tolerance laws from New York and California. Oscar Alvarez is the minister of the Honduras National Police.
Every crime is considered a big crime, and all of them will be persecuted within the law. That allows to capture and keep in detention most of the leaders of these gang groups.
Alvarez says the policies were created by former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani and Police Chief William Bratton, who now heads L.A.'s police force. Under the new laws, illicit association is now a crime. In other words, anyone looking like or even being friends with gang members is arrested as a suspect. Some human rights advocates say the policies and police sweeps are repressive, but Alvarez insists they're necessary to root out violent gang members.
These monsters are cutting people in pieces, raping women, killing just for fun.
One of the most striking incidents of gang violence happened in December. Police say MS members ambushed a bus in northern Honduras and killed 28 passengers with machetes. Alvarez calls the gangbangers killing machines.
They might be minors, they may be poor, but these youngsters are monsters at the same time.
Monsters, he says, that were created in Los Angeles, California. There are two main gangs in Central America, both born in the streets of L.A. The 18th Street Gang began in the 1960s as a Chicano and Mexican-American gang that has since incorporated Central American immigrants. And the second is the MS, the Mara Salvatrucha. It was formed by young Salvadoran immigrants in the 1980s. Mara means gang, and Salvatrucha is the slang word for Salvadoran. Both gangs boast membership around the world. Reportedly, there are MS and 18th Street members in Washington, D.C., in Spain, and even Israel. But while these two gangs are U.S. exports, they're also rooted in Central America's bloody wars.
La M y la S se relacionan con el 13, nace la WLS, clica la que les muki pertenece.
In his old neighborhood in the countryside outside San Salvador, 35-year-old Ernesto Miranda, also known as Smokey, raps and points to an MS graffiti tag he spray-painted on a wall years ago, soon after he was deported from L.A.
Westside MS 210.
Today, Smokey studies law at the National University, and he lobbies politicians and judges to change the anti-gang laws. He grew up during El Salvador's bloody civil war in the 1980s. He says he was just 14 when he joined the military to fight leftist guerrillas.
In this country, we were taught to kill our own people, no matter if they were from your own blood. If your father was the enemy, you had to kill him. So the training we got during the war in our country served to make us one of the most violent gangs in the United States.
Smokey remembers how he and his Salvadoran homeboys in L.A.'s Pico Union area created the Mara Salvatrucha.
As
Salvadorans, we were a new immigrant group in L.A., and we decided we needed to organize to defend ourselves against the other gangs. Unlike the Mexican gangbangers, we started out as stoners, with long hair and torn jeans. We liked to go to heavy metal concerts. That was our style, and that's how the gang wars started.
In an effort to stem the violence, U.S. officials began deporting people like Smokey and his homeboys back to Central America in the 1990s.
We didn't intend to bring the gangs back to our country, But the other rival gangs were growing here, and we felt we had to instruct the young people. I never imagined it would grow the way it did.
In their new barrios, many of the deported gang members couldn't even speak Spanish, but they told tales of gang life in Los Angeles, and soon the Salvadoran homies copied their hand signals, their slang, and more. Salvatruco yo nací, Salvatruco yo crecí, Salvatruco yo seré, Salvatruco moriré. That's the way it's gonna be, y moriré. Some say the U.S. is merely exporting its gang violence problem, but Kevin Kozak, a special agent with the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, says U.S. officials are working with Central America to follow up on deported felons.
And these are individuals that they can target and monitor once they get back to El Salvador. And if they commit a crime in San Salvador, they'll be hooked up immediately, and it's not a fun place to serve time.
The overcrowded prison in Quetzaltepeque in northern El Salvador is a warehouse for Salvadoran and deported U.S. members of the Mara Salvatrucha.
Dicen la Mara Salvatrucha 13, man. En mes, en mi barrio, man. De por vida.
Inmates like El Único, Carlos Tiveri, declare their loyalty to the MS with tattoos from forehead to ankle, body graffiti tags that commemorate dead homies, girlfriends, gang calligraphy, religious symbols, and even names of streets in Los Angeles. In fact, this entire prison glorifies L.A., from the bootlegged gangster rap blaring from speakers to the murals depicting MacArthur Park in L.A.'s Pico Union, home to Salvadoran immigrants. In the open courtyard, inmates watch a bootlegged video of American Me, the 1992 movie about prison gangs in California. Jorge Chacon, also known as Cokie, says he was deported from L.A. and sent to this prison for kidnapping.
We know that we make some mistake, but that doesn't mean that they're going to treat us like animals. They don't like us. We're not angels, but we're not so devils, too.
Actually, one of the most striking of his homies does have a pair of devil's horns tattooed on his forehead. 23-year-old David Argenia has been at Quetzaltepeque for the past 4 years.
Just because we have tattoos, we get arrested. They think we're part of the gang. Whether we committed a crime or not, we're in prison.
On patrol, searching for gang members, police officers in San Salvador have their own complaints. They say they're always getting shot at, but there aren't enough bulletproof vests for all of them. They spend their time driving flimsy pickup trucks along rocky dirt roads. During a ceremony to promote police inspectors, President Tony Saca defends his anti-gang laws. First was the mano dura, or firm hand, and now there's the super mano dura.
El plan super mano dura es integral.
The super firm hand is an integral program of rehabilitation. And we have programs for re-entry to society. We call it the friendly hand.
But Saca was at a loss to explain exactly what those re-entry programs are. Until now, rehabilitation has been left to a few volunteer church groups or ex-gang members with no funding. In particular, the group Homies Unidos has been struggling to inspire gang members in prisons and in the barrios to leave behind gangbanging. President Saca initiated his original mano dura law in the Ladino neighborhood in San Salvador, and now gang members here don't dare congregate in the open. But one night, in the shadows of an apartment patio sitting next to an open sewer, about 30 members of the 18th Street Gang agree to talk about their lives.
Este es un rig de un homeboy que lo mataron.
A baby-faced 15-year-old nicknamed Enano, Midget, shows off a new tattoo on his arm, dedicated to one of his homeboys killed by a rival gang. Enano says he's not welcome at school anymore because of his tattoos and his gang affiliation. He says he's always getting stopped and beat up by the police. Others talk about police arresting them and dropping them in enemy territory where they have to fight for their lives. And they speak of the Sombra Negra, the Dark Shadow, a vigilante group believed to be left over from the death squads during the war. They say that despite the mano dura laws, their numbers keep growing. The conditions that brought them to the gangs have still not changed. Alfredo Serrano says he was just 13 when he joined the 18th Street Gang. With smoldering good looks, the 24-year-old is also known as Smokey.
Perdí hermano, a mi abuelo, tío, sobrino,
Serrano says he was just 5 years old when he watched soldiers break into his house to gun down his brothers, his grandparents, uncles, and nephews during the Civil War. His mother fled to Los Angeles, and he was left to be raised by relatives. Serrano says he was traumatized. He still can't shake his memories of death and abandonment.
Se busca compañía, ¿me entiendes? Se busca otro hogar, otra familia, ¿me entiendes?
I searched for another family, and I found it here with my homeboys. Because we are a family. We help each other out. It's a brotherhood. We love each other.
Now that he's getting older, he wants to stop gangbanging, start a family. I want to have a baby, he confides. 2 days after this interview, Smokey's friends tell us he was arrested by police during another gang sweep. The phenomenon has been a tragic cycle. Children of war left orphaned or abandoned by their families. Many came to Los Angeles, where they formed gangs for solidarity and protection. War refugees turned gang members, then deported back to Central America to start a new generation. More than police crackdowns, the homeboys say they need jobs, opportunity, and hope. So to even have a chance, ex-gang members are now furiously trying to get rid of their tattoos.
Hi.
At a clinic run by a church in San Salvador, Joel Martinez goes through the extremely painful process of having the number 18 burned off his back.
En la lucha creo que llevo tres, con este son cuatro.
Tattoo removal at this clinic is a primitive and exquisitely torturous process. There are no expensive lasers like there are in the U.S. Instead, the nurse injects a long needle with anesthesia along the outline of his tattoo every few centimeters. Then for 3 or 4 seconds, she uses an infrared device that resembles a long-necked firelighter to singe every inch of the tattoo. The ink will eventually dissolve into Martinez's system, but the result is a second-degree burn, like extinguishing a cigarette on the skin. The ink is gone, but now the tattoo is a scar. The nurses here say some people are so desperate, they sometimes will try to iron off the tattoos, which only mutilates them. Martinez says the pain is worth it.
I don't want my mother to suffer anymore because I was involved in the gang. Thank God I'm leaving it behind. Now I can look forward to a better future.
Meanwhile, at the airport in San Salvador, every Wednesday afternoon, another plane arrives from Los Angeles carrying more deported gang members.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos a El Salvador.
When they land, the police are here to register their names. They listen to a lecture on preventing AIDS. They're given a few condoms and a map. After that, they're left to find their own way. I'm Mandalit del Barco.
Este ritmo está al lado de la gente. Pase lo que pase, siempre dimos presente. Seré salvadoreño hasta la hora de mi muerte.